Jaya Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Pariva Jakacharya Astotara Shata Sri Shrimadis Divine Grace Abhay Charna Vrinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Dvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaudavakra Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Sri Gangamai Ki Jai, Sri Jamanamai Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jai. His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, the Lordship Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai, the Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, the Lordship Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jai, the Lordship Sri Sri Lakshmi Nrisimha Dev Ki Jai, Iskandu Ramanreti Dham Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, entitled Prayers by Queen Kunti, text number 11 and 12. That's the wrong one up there. Go to 11. We'll do 11 responsively and 12 simultaneously. Sri Suta Vacha,
Sri Suta Vacha,
Upadarya Vachastasya, Bhagavan Bhakta Vatsalaha, Apandavam Idam Kartum, Jonair Ashram Abhudyata. Sri Suta Vacha, Upadarya Vachastasya, Bhagavan Bhakta Vatsalaha, Apandavam Idam Kartum, Jonair Ashram Abhudyata, Suta Vacha, Upadarya Vachastasya, Bhagavan Bhakta Vatsala, Apandavam Idam Kartum, Jonair Ashram Abhudyata.
Suvacha
Upadaya Vachastasya, Bhagavan Bhakta Vatsalaha, Apandavam Idam Kartum, Jonair Ashram Abhudyata.
Suta
Vacha Upadarya Vachastasya, Bhagavan Bhakta Vatsalaha, Apandavam Idam Kartum, Jonair Ashram Abhudyata. Upadarya Vachastasya, Bhagavan Bhakta Vatsalaha, Apandavam Idam Kartum, Jonair Ashram Abhudyata. Mother?
Suta
Vacha
Upadharya Vachastasya,
Upadharya Vachastasya,
Bhagavan
Bhakta Vatsala, Apandavam Idam Kartum, Jonair Ashram Abhudyata. Suta Vacha Upadarya Vachastasya, Jagavan Bhakta Vatsalaha, Apandavam Idam Kartum, Jonair Ashram Abhudyata. Suta Vacha
Upadharya Vachastasya
Bhagavan Bhakta Vatsala
Apandavamidam Kartum
Dronirashtam Abhudyata
Sutta Uvacha.
Sutta
Goswami
said,
Upadharya,
by hearing her patiently,
Vachaha,
words,
Tasyaha,
her,
Bhagavan,
the personality of Godhead,
Bhakta Vatsalaha,
he who is very much affectionate towards his devotees,
Apandavam,
without the existence of the Pandavas' descendants.
Idam,
this.
Kartum,
to do it.
Drone,
of the son of Dronacharya.
Astram,
Rapam.
Abhudyata,
understood.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
Translation?
Sutta Goswami said,
having patiently heard her words, Lord Sri Krishna, who is always very affectionate to his devotees, could at once understand that Ashwatthama, the son of Dronacharya, had thrown the Brahmastra to finish the last life in the Pandava family.
Purport?
The Lord is impartial in every respect, but still he is inclined towards his devotees, because there is a great necessity for this, for everyone's well-being. The Pandava family was a family of devotees, and therefore the Lord wanted them to rule the world. That was the reason he vanquished the rule of the company of Duryodhana and established the rule of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Therefore, he also wanted to protect Maharaj Parikshit, who was lying in embryo. He did not like the idea that the world should be without the Pandavas, the ideal family of devotees. And 12, let's do it together.
Tarye Vita Muni Shrestha Pandava Panchasayatan Atmano Bhimukanditan Alasya Stranyupadadu.
Translation. O foremost among the great thinkers, Munis, Sanaka, seeing the glaring Brahmastra proceeding towards them, the Pandavas took up their five respective weapons.
Purport.
The Brahmastras are finer than the nuclear weapons. Ashwatthama discharged the Brahmastra simply to kill the Pandavas, namely the five brothers headed by Maharaj Yudhisthira, and their only grandson, who was lying within the womb of Uttara. Therefore, the Brahmastra, more effective and finer than the atomic weapons, was not as blind as the atomic bombs. When the atomic bombs are discharged, they do not discriminate between the target and others. Mainly the atomic bombs do harm to the innocent, because there is no control. The Brahmastra is not like that. It marks out the target and proceeds accordingly without harming the innocent.
End of purport.
Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskute. Napta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasad Vitalishu Mati Shila Gurbao Prabhuti Namini Sri Sri Vindata Vivira Padapad Pankajadayane Prabhupada Nubadaya Namah Sri Gurbao Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasad Vitalishu Mati Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Kacharni Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Paschachadeshatani Hare Krishna. So, at this juncture of the Bhagavatam, just to give a little recap, it's the pastime here is taking place just after the, just about the end of the Mahabharata war, where Duryodhana and company were destroyed and the Pandavas were re-established. So at this point, the son of the martial teacher Dronacharya, his son Ashwatthama, he fought on the side of Duryodhana, and he wanted to, because they lost the battle, Duryodhana was about to give up his life. He thought it in his best interest to destroy the last leg of the Pandavas family. So in trying to do so, he thought he would be able to please the head of his army, his commander-in-chief, Duryodhana. So what he did initially, he did perform some immoral activities, and this is the beginning of from the Vedic history of people of high standard Brahminical culture that stepped down to degraded activities. So Ashwatthama was the first of misusing their powers, and then the second was Sringi Rishi, who caused Maharaj Parikshit to die after he got upset by his father being garlanded by the snake. So here Ashwatthama thought that not only that he would do something immoral, but he would try to trick his commander-in-chief, his boss, so to speak, Duryodhana, so that he can give him as much relief as possible, so he can die with a happy heart as he always wanted to. So what he did, he killed the five sleeping sons of the Pandavas, and he brought their heads to Duryodhana, who was on his deathbed, and he said, "Here, my dear sir, look, I've destroyed all the Pandava family. Look here, the heads of the five Pandavas. Finally, we kill them all. This way you can be satisfied." But Duryodhana wasn't that naive. He decided to test, because he figured that no ordinary person can rid the Pandavas so easily. So he was on his deathbed lying, but he asked that the heads be close to him, and he touched these heads, and with his power of his hands he was able to crush them. And when he did that, he said, "These can be the heads of the Pandavas. I won't be able to do that."
that these have to be the sons of the Pandavas. And then he lamented, he said, now that you have destroyed everything we have, we ever have, that even though this was a war, this was a family matter, it was a family war, and it's expected that our family continue this tradition. And now, the last leg of this tradition, the five sons, they were going to continue the rule of this great dynasty. And you're such a fool that you have destroyed that. And in that way, Duryodhana was not in the least pleased with him. So anyway, the story rolls on that Ashwatthama was punished by Arjuna. Krishna wanted to kill him. Krishna said he should kill him. Draupadi, with motherly affection, says no, that she doesn't want Ashwatthama's mother to cry the way she's crying for the loss of her kids. So leave him. So like that, he was punished and sent away. So here, again, Ashwatthama is striking that after everything is done, at that time, Abhimanyu, who was Subhadra's son, he got killed in the war. His wife Uttara was pregnant, and she was carrying a very great devotee in the making in her womb, Maharaj Pariksit. So this verse is where that comes in today, where Ashwatthama decides that he's going to strike again, and he wants to destroy the Pandavas and this only descendant, because now that the sons are killed, the only one left to rule the kingdom would be the grandson. The lineage comes down. So at that point in the previous verse is where Uttara, the surviving wife of Abhimanyu, she came running to Krishna. That, oh Krishna, please protect me. This iron rod is coming to me, towards me very fast. And if you so desire, let it kill me, but don't let it destroy my embryo. Don't let it kill the child within my womb. And that's 11, and verse 12 is where this Brahmastra was also directing towards the Pandava, the five Pandava brothers, to kill them. So they took up their weapons. So here it's saying that Krishna was listening patiently to the words of Uttara. So this pastime is a very, very intimate one with the Lord and his devotees, with the devotees fully surrendering. The Pandava families, the family of devotees, they were extremely surrendered to the will of the Lord. And they are intimately connected. Srila Prabhupada describes that this pastimes of the Pandava family and the Lord is none different from the pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto with the gopis and the residents of Vraja. There is no difference, because the level of surrender, the level of connection is the same. So, but there is one very big difference which we can say was a great disadvantage to the Pandavas in one sense, that in the Vraja Leela, everyone in Vraja, they love Krishna so much, but Krishna covered them with his yoga maya potency so that they do not know that Krishna was God, so that way they can have all different relationships without reservation. Even when Bilvamangala Thakur went to Vrindavan after his pastimes, he was directed. So he went to Vrindavan and he was asking for Bhagavan. Said, you heard Bhagavan is here. So everybody said, Bhagavan? There's no Bhagavan here in Braj. He said, well, everyone is directing me that Bhagavan is in Vraja. They said, no, there's no Bhagavan here. So then he thought for a minute, and he said, I want to see that boy Krishna. And I said, oh, Krishna. And I said, oh, we love him so much, we can't stop thinking about him. So here, Krishna is here for sure. So like that, no one knew that Krishna is God. So like that, their love for him can be manifested in so many different ways, as parents, as friends, as lovers, as opponents. They can fight with him riding on Krishna's back. But with the Pandavas, the difference with them is that every one of them knew that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every one of them, they were always conscious. And still, they were able to have all these different relationships with him. So if you think about that for a moment and put yourself in any makeshift position and see that you know that this is God or this is the president, the only thing that would naturally come to you is awe and reverence. But they were fully conscious that that is the Lord, and still they were able to have all these different varieties of relationships with him. And whenever there is a need, whenever there's an urgency, they directly approach him and address him as Lord. In Vraja, whenever there's an urgency, the devotees, they would pray to the demigods and pray to Lord Vishnu. Oh, please protect this boy, Krishna. You know, that's their prayer. Please protect my little child. Please protect my friend. But no one used to pray to Krishna. Oh, please protect. Sometimes they would say, oh, Krishna will protect us, but not as God, as just one of our friends or one of our, relations. But in this pastimes, in this Leela, all the devotees, the Pandavas, they were directly approaching. Krishna showed Arjuna his universal form, show him all the evidences of the scripture that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They were all very conscious of it, and that remained. And still, they were able to maintain this relationship, this loving relationship. They were able to accept obeisances. Maharaj Yudhishthira was able to accept obeisances from Krishna. Bhima was able to accept obeisances. Kunti Deva was able to accept obeisances. There are so many different relationships. Bhishma Dev was able to accept like that. So it's a difference in that pastimes. And so here, Uttara, she directly approaches the Lord. She knew this is the Lord, and directly approach and pray and ask what we can say for something material, that please protect this child in my womb. Please save this child. So Srila Prabhupada describes that there is nothing wrong with a grihastha, or one of the worldly order per se, to directly ask the Lord for something what appears to be material. There's nothing wrong with that. And here the Lord is patiently listening. And he immediately took to action. So whenever there's an interaction with the Lord and his devotees, he doesn't send his agents for anything. He comes himself. And depends on the need, depends on the urgency, depends on the situation. With discrimination, he acts accordingly. That it describes that when Kamsa did so much harm to his parents, constantly killing all their siblings, throwing them in jail, but they were safe in jail. Kamsa had no intentions of killing them after the promise that Vasudev would bring all the kids to him. So they were safe there. Devaki had her husband, despite they were in prison, but she had her husband to protect her. Srila Prabhupada explains like this. But with Uttara, there was no one there. Even with Kunti Devi, her kids were small, she had no husband. So at every moment, Krishna was there to protect them immediately, without reservation, without hesitation. He immediately went. With his own parents, he waited until he was like 12 years old, 12 to 15 years, depends on different acharyas, give different time frame. So then he went and he took care of that situation. He didn't go immediately. So there's that difference. So here the Lord is reciprocating with his devotees in a very, very intimate way and offering that protection as the need arises. Even here with the Pandavas, the five most powerful warriors of the time, that they took up their weapons, but Krishna knew that in this juncture they would not be able to protect themselves against this Brahmastra for whatever reason. Even though Arjuna knew to throw the Brahmastra himself, knew to withdraw it, knew to counteract it, but Krishna knew that at this juncture they would not be able to protect themselves. So therefore, he took to the charge. So it's just like that king or that father or whoever, you know, the leader, they directly take charge of their immediates. They directly take charge of their devotees. Just like you would have the prime minister or the president for the country, they would have minister to take care of education, minister for agriculture, finance, this, that, and the next. What with their immediate family? There's no minister for that. They take personal care, personal charge. Like Indrajuna Maharaj gave the story of this king. He went on a tour, he and his entire entourage, and they were passing by a lake. And his grandson fell in the lake. And he had thousands of soldiers, so many competent people, bodyguards, whatever. And immediately he jumped off from his horseback and dived right into the lake with all his clothing, whatever. He didn't wait for any, no minister, no help. That's his personal family, his immediate. He just went and took care of himself. So there was no agency. He didn't wait for any agency to come and assist. He did it himself. So that's a relationship with the Lord and his devotees. On the flip side, with the devotees and the Lord, they live a life of total surrender, which comes through the agency of the guru also. So therefore it is stated that a devotee lives by three principles. One is bhakti shakti, two is priti lakshana, and three is dakshata. So bhakti shakti is the understanding of the devotee that whatever ability he has in spiritual life, whatever love he has, whatever advancement he has, it's all due to the mercy of the guru and the predecessor acharyas and the Lord himself, that he possesses no ability. And we find Srila Prabhupada repeating this time and time again, over and over, that whatever success I have is all due to my Guru Maharaj, that I have no potency. Initially when I read it, it's so, oh, you know, it's one of the sentimental things, we always give credit to others. But after understanding that, no, that is something genuine, it's not something that Srila Prabhupada is just giving credit. No, it's a principle of spiritual life, it's a principle of a devotee, to always understand that whatever potency one has is not due to his own efforts or own strength, but is due to the mercy and blessing of his guru and other devotees and the Lord himself. So that way they always keep that dependence. They never become proud, they never try to do anything that curtails that understanding. And even when that understanding is about to be curtailed, Krishna lovingly checks that. We find the pastime with Radharani, when she became a little proud that Krishna was with her alone, then Krishna vanished. In this first canto, it's coming up when Arjuna went to Dwarka to visit Krishna. After Krishna left, went back, Arjuna went to visit. In the meanwhile, Maharaj Yudhisthira were seeing so many different bad omens. And so what happens is that when Arjuna went there, you know, Krishna left the planet. So Arjuna was trying to protect the wives of Krishna. He had the same Gandiva, he is the same powerful personality, and everything is there, but he was powerless against some cowherd's men. He was powerless against very ordinary very, what we can say, a fig in his hands. He was powerless against them. So then Maharaj Yudhisthira asked him, he was very dejected when he came back, and Maharaj Yudhisthira asked him, what's going on? Why are you in such a dejected mood? And he started to come up with so many different ideas, so many different suggestions that may be the reason for Arjuna's dejection. And then Arjuna recited this one verse. He says, O King, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who treated me exactly like an intimate friend, has left me alone. Thus are all my astounding powers, which astounded even the demigods, are no longer with me. So, Arjuna was very conscious that whatever strength he had was all due to Krishna, all due to the mercy of someone else. So this is the first principle that the devotee lived by, this Bhakti Shakti. Then the second principle of Priti Lakshana, that Rupa Goswami explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, of the loving exchanges of all the devotees, the giving and receiving of gifts, revealing one's mind confidentially, and these principles. So a devotee lives by these lovingly exchanges, with loving exchanges. Like I was thinking, as this thought came to mind, I was thinking, every morning I would listen to Maramukha's announcement. And sometimes you can see that your voice would get heavy, she would stress, push a little anger in there, to stress this point of social distancing, be cautious, be careful. And we can hear from the tone of her voice that not only she's saying this as a leader of this community, but she's saying with a mood of care and love and affection for all of us. At least that's what I gather, you know, that she's so much concerned for all of us that even though she got to become angry sometimes or give a threat, like if you read the notice on that board back there, that if anyone in this pujari room is found without their mask on, nose and mouth covered, they're immediately fired and replaced. So not that she wants to do that, but out of affection, she wants to maintain the health and safety of all of us. So sometimes the Lord does things like that also. So, you know, that is part of a loving exchange. That is part of Priti Lakshana, that she's behaving like that, or, you know, we reciprocate, or something, we reciprocate with our kids. Talk to them softly, they don't listen, then we have to pick up the stick or raise our voices, or, you know, like that. So it's part of affection. So that's one of the principles also that the devotee lives by. And then the last one, Dakshata. That Dakshata means that Daksha, when he was one of the Prajapatis, and he was in charge, he was given, you know, to create. So Dakshata means that we try to function in a situation due to time, place, and circumstance. And we see Srila Prabhupada did that. He came to preach in the West. He made so many adjustments. He created language, and he created grammar and understanding and presentation so that everyone can be adopted. They can get the message through what they're accustomed to be adopted to. Like when Srila Prabhupada came, he introduced the word demigods. I know some of us devotees in the early days in Guyana almost got killed because we were using the word demigods. People felt so offended that why not devata, demigods sound so low class. But Srila Prabhupada used the word demigods so that the Westerners can relate to that so much. So whatever, due to time, place, and circumstance, whatever devotee has to do to give the message, then he makes that adjustment, and that principle is called Dakshata. So these three things that the devotee lived by to act in such a way so that his life of dependence is maintained, his culture is maintained, the pure message of Krishna consciousness can go out, the relationship of devotees can be maintained, and the harmony can be there. So these things are there in our scriptures for us to practice, and from these pastimes we can see how these things are manifesting. Like many times we hear them, but when we're going into these pastimes and understanding these, then these can come out. So these principle again of understanding and surrender and dependence on the Lord is what the devotee sticks with. And so with this, there are three prominent references in our scriptures. The first one is Bhagavatam 10.14.8, the popular Tathenokampam verse, that a devotee tolerates all reverses in this war, whilst at the same time maintains his surrender and dependence on the Lord. And then we have this, the other verse, 10.14.58, that param param yadvi param natesham, that this a devotee wants to go to the war that where there is no danger at every step, that this material war is a place of danger at every step. Param param yadvi param natesham. So being in a war with danger at every step, Srila Prabhupada describes that because we're in this war, then we have to be tolerant, we have to be patient, we have to tolerate, and reverses are going to happen. Then he cited again the same pastime with the Pandavas, Queen Kunti prayers, the Pandavas Uttara, that all these reverses are there, constantly they're happening. It's just part of the makeup of the material world. It's that simple. Like Srila Prabhupada gave the example, he quoted the Titanic. He said, look at the Titanic, the largest ship. Everyone felt so safe. But the Titanic was in a foreign place. It went in the water, in the rough seas. So big as it is, it had no resistance to that condition. Therefore, disaster took place. And many of the prominent people of the world perished and died in that ship. So like that, despite how powerful we might be, even the Pandavas are so powerful. But being in the material world, then we have to face the consequences of being here. It's just a product, whether one is a devotee or a non-devotee, it doesn't matter. These things will be there. The difference with a devotee is that he knows and understands how to deal with it. So then the next verse I was intending on is the Bhagavad Gita 2.14, Matsa Sparsa to Kaunteya, that just like these different, you know, happiness and distress comes, different weather condition comes, so similarly one, you know, we just have to tolerate them, so we similarly have to tolerate. So that was Srila Prabhupada's stress, that we have to learn to tolerate these things and go on. Try to conquer is not going to make a difference. We don't have the ability to do so. But with surrender, then that gives us the ability, because we are able to cross this ocean just like as simple as the little puddle of water in the hoofprint of a calf. That's that 10.14.58 verse explains. So the whole idea is to surrender and keep this mood. So this is the mood that the devotee works with. The dependence of the Lord and tolerate whatever is coming around. Look at what's going on with us right now. You know, we can't even hug each other. That's like a big thing that a devotee has to tolerate. There's so much this social distancing, the virus, there's so much effects, so much things that are bothering us. What can we do? From the president right down, no one can fight it. We just have to tolerate. And we have to take the necessary steps to protect ourselves. So that's the life of a devotee. We take the necessary steps to protect ourselves spiritually and materially and be responsible in that way. And that gives us the makeup of Krishna consciousness. So it's very practical, the full dependence of the will of the Lord. And whatever comes, we accept it as a mercy of the Lord or something that we have to pass through. So we very faithfully and patiently tolerate it and we move on. So we keep going like that And with that surrender, then Krishna, at his will, he protects. Like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says that don't try to act in a way so that to see God, but act in such a way so that God would see you. So this is the way of acting in that capacity of simplicity, surrender, dependence on the will of the Lord. Understand that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. That we are living here, but we don't belong here. And that way, our consciousness can be purified, our lives can be molded, and the benefit would come both individually and collectively. Like the saying in GBC management is, think globally and act locally. So it's the same principle that applies. So I would stop there if anyone has any questions, comments, corrections. Mother Sukada. Yeah, well, if you listen to your words, say to not to pray but leave everything to Krishna, then the import of that is praying to Krishna. That's what it means. Leave everything to Krishna, you're actually praying to Krishna, or you take care. Uh-huh. Yeah, so it is prayer. To get in more detail is that it's whether one prays constantly or out of necessity, that's also good. Like Satra Maharaj wrote this book, Enter into the Life of Prayer. That's the mood of a devotee. Yeah. So we find the karmis or non-devotees or devotees, they would do the same. Sometimes whenever, as what you described, things becomes necessary or danger is there, then okay, there's nothing else that they can do. So then they immediately remember. So sometimes the Lord presents these things to, it gives us different lessons. In this same verse 10:14, Kampam verse, the purport explains that sometimes the Lord gives different loving situations that appear to be upwards, so that one remembers him, so that one can turn. And that's how Krishna gives. Especially for a devotee, Krishna would give what we can say harsh lessons so that he can turn towards Krishna, not turn against. So even though one prays intermittently only when they're in danger, that's also good. The best thing is to pray constantly. So either way, our life is to pray, because there is nothing else that we can do. Dependence and prayer. Thank you very much.
So yeah. I have a question.
Okay, sure.
So we see that when Arjun compassion was shown before,
mm-hmm.
earlier, Arjuna turned towards Krishna
yeah.
and said, look what's happened, please protect me.
Mm-hmm.
And here when the Brahmastra came, it doesn't describe, they themselves, all the Pandavas, took their weapons
mm-hmm.
to counteract the Brahmastra. And so I'm just wondering why the difference is there, that previously they did, and
mm-hmm.
he did, and then this time they themselves
yeah.
decided to do it on their own.
Yeah. I have the same question when I read this and read if you know the future purports to come up it would describe. Yeah, I had the same thing. Why this happened? And yet again it's Krishna is in direct control of everything. And he knew at what point something can happen or what point something cannot. Just like with in the first instance he knew that Arjuna had the ability to counter the Brahmastra, and he allowed him to do so. In this instance, it's described that they didn't have the ability to counter it for whatever reason. I was going to try to do some more research on that, but I ended up with a little catastrophe last night, my home. So, talking about. We're talking about tolerating, you know, so and carrying our lives. This morning I decide should I come or come not? So I end up okay. I should come son, I should, you know, take the cold shower with a water hose outside. My whole system is a disaster at home right now. And like that. So yes, tolerate. And the Lord has reasons for everything, and it's not within our capacity to always know those reasons. So anyway, I was trying to do some research to find out that difference because I thought about it and think why then that was so and why now this is so. But I didn't get to it, but thanks for that inquiry. That would urge me to do some research on that. Do you have any answer to that, anyone?
I have another question to ask.
Yeah.
Actually, answer is coming.
Okay. Yeah.
Just like this mother has a children, so you gave an example of Indaduna Maharaj giving the. We just had a recent discussion about. Okay, Krishna is showing his Bhaktavatsala mood, just like that man who jumped with his own uniform, he did not wait. The king didn't wait for the minister or agency to do it because he loves. So how do you answer that when his naughty children became bad, he handed over to Maya, you take care and discipline. Krishna did not come personally.
Yeah, because they choose to be out of Krishna's inner circle.
What do you mean inner circle?
Like inner circle is like Krishna's devotees, in that we choose to become Krishna's devotees and stay close to Krishna. Krishna loves everyone equally. He's impartial. But the ones who stay close with him, he reciprocates in that way. So whenever one becomes devotees, Krishna choose to take direct charge of that person. And whenever one chooses not to be a devotee, then Krishna allows some other source to take care. Just like you have the father with the two sons, one is a thief, one is a judge and loyal to him. You know, with a judge he takes personal care. With the one with a thief that is so, you know, he's not loyal, he doesn't listen to the father, he's rebellious, then he let his son take care of him. Let the judge punish him and take care, so but it's all for his benefit. So either way, whether Maya takes care or Krishna takes care personally, the benefit ultimately is the same.
But if your child was a naughty, would you hand over to somebody else or you discipline?
It depends on the situation. When there's an urgent need, that's where discrimination comes. It said discrimination is a mark of valor. Whether your child is naughty or not, if he's drowning, you would definitely go. But then in terms of let's say casual or not urgent situation, then you let him learn his lessons elsewhere, because he will not allow you to teach him or to learn lessons from you. It's a natural thing, because familiarity breeds contempt. Sometimes the children will not listen to the parents, but they might listen to somebody else. Or sometimes you would have to send. That's why the parents send the kids to school to learn, not teach them themselves, except for, you know, some cases. Just so that the respect and the circumstance of more stringent on reverence is there, and these different punishments are there, ultimately to bring one back to the right path. So Krishna doesn't really, we can say, don't waste his time with those who are not surrendered to him. Even though he loves them equally, but he let others take care, let his external agency, just like the minister, the prime minister, there's so many aspects of the country to be run. He let different people take care, but with his personal family, the inner circle, or even his ministers himself, he takes care of them, and then they take care of others. So it depends on the situation, depends on the urgency, like in this case with Uttara and Kunti Devi. Krishna stepped in immediately. In the case of his parents, he let it drag on for 12 years.
The speaker is not completely convinced, but he's saying, another one is from Mother Bhaja Govinda. Is it mercy to kill a murderer so he won't have to suffer the consequences of his deed in the next life? Killing Asatama after his first offense would have stopped his murderer's tendencies. But then again, negated his first.
Yeah, ultimately everything is Krishna's plan. Not a blade of grass moves without the sanction of the Lord. So all these are Krishna's plans and pastimes, so for different things to manifest. Krishna wanted his devotees' fame to spread, one like Maharaj Parikshit. And he wanted to protect him in that way. So whenever these pastimes are carrying on, there are underlying principles behind it. Ultimately, it's the Lord's pastime, but sometimes there might be reasons why something happened. But ultimately, it's the Lord's pastimes, and if he had wanted to, he could have said, okay, you know, finish, Arjuna, finish. Finish him. So at this juncture, it comes a difference, the mark of a difference between a devotee and the Lord. Here the Lord says, kill him. The devotee says, no. So in one sense, the devotee is more merciful than the Lord. You know, when Lord Krishna gave his principles, if you surrender unto me, I'll reward accordingly. Lord Chaitanya says, you surrender or not, I will reward you anyway. You know, if you want, he's begging, please come. I'll reward you. No conditions. Krishna made conditions. Lord Chaitanya, as Krishna's devotee, didn't make conditions. Anyone, so.
I have nothing to say, just there's a question.
Okay, sure.
Another question. Hare Krishna, often we have experienced that when so-called ordinary devotee gives humble credit to his guru, Maharaj, if it is expressed not on the Vyasasana, but in the course of ordinary life, he is looked upon by others as falsely humble, or as if he is adopting some kind of a holier than thou. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with that word. Mentality, because his peers do not express themselves like that. How can a sincere person who actually is not seeking superiority amongst others, but strives to realize that any perfections or abilities that may manifest within him really do come from the mercy of the Lord and the spiritual master, react to that without becoming self-conscious?
It says, practice makes perfect. The first part of the question says that if he might not have this in his heart, what he's showing, almost like making a show. So that's the first step, that we have to practice being humble. And then with that practice, actual humility would develop. So we have to start somewhere. And in that, when one is practicing, it is stated that a devotee always goes through tests. First, he gets tests from the karmis, then he gets tests from the devotees, then he gets tests from the spiritual master, then he gets tests from Krishna himself. So tests never stops coming. So when, in this case, like someone may judge him to be sincere or not sincere, that's also a test. And if one is genuinely sincere, then he would continue under any circumstances. That's part of the import of the Tatenu Kampam verse also. That's part of it, is that these tests gonna be there, obstacles gonna be there, disturbances, and even from devotees, it's all tests. Devotees may test you, devotees may, you know, sometimes may try to put you down. It's all we can say from the very highest level is Krishna is helping us to be as sincere as we're supposed to be. So to actually do it, you have to prove yourself. You know, like to become a soldier, you just can't say, well, okay, I can do this, that, and next. You have to prove yourself. So there would be a lot of tests and a lot of training. So it's part of our training that we would be humiliated in many circumstances. We may be pushed down. We may be harassed outwardly, apparently. So one principle that the devotee live by also, it says that a karmi, a non-devotee, looks to exploit others. A devotee looks to be exploited by others. Of course, one shouldn't take that wrongly, that now I want to be a humble devotee and everyone exploit. But exploit in the sense that allows us to engage in Krishna's service, push us to engage in Krishna's service, push us to the next level. So when others are sometimes thinking, well, okay, he's just making a show, it's actually a push for him to genuinely present himself, and in course of time, that shows out. I think there was another part of that question. It was long. In essence, that's what it says, but I believe there is something else there. Okay. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Bhagavatam Padra, I always like to stand up.
Oh, good.